نرم چای بنرو تمام
رن چای بنرو تمام
دیویم سرزوتیم بیاسم
دیویم سرزوتیم بیاسم
رو جمو دیره شی کشن چیتن سپرابونتنانده شید ویت گرار هاشتی باسا دیگور بکتا ویند هری کشن هری کشن 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 هری 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 راما هری راما 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 هری هری Reading verse 17. Brahmate jo vanir muktair.
Brahmate jo vanir muktair.
Atma jai saha krishnaya.
Atma jai saha krishnaya.
Prayana bimukam krishnam.
Prayana bimukam krishnam.
Idamaha Pitasati
Idamata Pitasati
Ramate Jo Venir Muktair
Ramate Jo Venir Muktair
Atma Jai Saha Krishna
Atma
Jai Saha Krishna
Prayana Abhimukham Krishna
Prayana Abhimukham Krishna
Idamaha Pitasati
Idamaha Pitasati
Brahma Tejo Venir Muktair
Brahma Tejo Venir Muktair
Atma Jai Saha Krishnaya
Atma Jai Saha Krishnaya
Idama Prayana Bhimukam Krishnam
Prayana Bhimukam Krishnam
Idamaha Pitasati
Idamaha Pitasati
So,
Ramate Jo Venir Muktair
Ramate Jo Venir Muktair
Atma Jai Saha Krishnaya
Atma Jai Saha Krishnaya
Prayana Vimukham Krishnam
Prayana Vimukham Krishnam
Idam aha pritasati.
Idam aha pritasati.
Ramatejo vinir muktair.
Ramatejo vinir muktair.
Atmaja saha krishnaya.
Atmaya saha krishnaya.
Prayana bi mukair krishnam.
Pranaya inakam krishnam.
Krishnam.
Idam aha prita sati.
Idam aha prita sati. Brahma techo vinakir mikair.
Brahma
techo vinakir mukhtair.
Atma jai saha krishnaya.
Atma jai saha krishnaya.
Prayana vi mukam krishnam.
Prayana bimukham krishnam
idamaha pritasati
idamaha pritasati
brahma tejo vinir muktair
brahma tejo
vinir muktair
atma jai saha krishnaya
atma jai saha krishnaya
prayana bimukham krishnam
Pranaya bhimukam krishnam
Idam aha pritasati
Idam aha pritasati
Someone else there? Okay. Brahmateja
Brahmateja
The radiation of the Brahmastra
The radiation of the Brahmastra
Vinir Muktai
Vinir Muktai.
Being saved from.
Being saved from.
Atma Jai.
Atma Jai.
Along with her sons.
Along with her sons.
Saha.
Saha.
With.
With.
Krishnaya.
Krishnaya.
Draupadi.
Draupadi.
Prayana.
Prayana.
Outgoing.
Outgoing.
Abhimukham.
Abhimukham.
Towards.
Towards.
Krishnam.
Krishnam.
Unto Lord Krishna.
unto Lord Krishna.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
Yes.
Said.
Said.
Prita.
Prita.
Kunti.
Kunti.
Sati.
Sati.
Chaste. Devoted to the Lord.
Chaste. Devoted to the Lord.
Translation. Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Kunti is described herein as sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was also always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. One should not therefore look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods, but one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Adhidana Srinadhan Tari Damyachi Punapuna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dudisham Janma Janmani Janavam Mito Bhujo Kanaka Vidato Sankirtana Kapitao Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijabaro Yugadhalma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Kuranavataro Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So
if everybody on Skype could please mute so there's no background noise.
Thanks for reminding.
Okay. Class that close. I heard some of yesterday's, but every day things go on. Emotive passion here in my place. Yesterday, I heard part of Madan Mohan's class, so other than that, I hadn't heard the last week or so, so I'm guilty as charged. So I don't want to repeat what people have said, but if it gets boring, you know, just feel free to fall asleep. Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Now, one thing I hadn't noticed or thought of in all so many years reading of Kunti's prayers, that although it says right after this, it says Kunti Uvacha, and the prayers are Kunti's prayers. There, everyone says Kunti's prayers. You know, when I joined, we were advised. I hadn't met Prabhupada in L.A., but they said Prabhupada was very pleased if we could memorize Kunti's prayers and Bhishma's prayers, which in those days seemed like some kind of, like if someone said, hey, I'd really be happy if you went and climbed, you know, Mount Everest, you know, tomorrow morning or something. You know, like it just seemed like, wow, you know, what's that? We were reading Bhagavatam and, you know, having classes, but it's like really overwhelming. There's so much. It seemed like a lot. You know, we had a little bit of second canto and no third or any other book, except we had TLC, and everyone who was around in those days can testify. So, but we heard this through informed sources, and that we should learn these prayers. And here we're seeing that that Krishna was addressed not only by Lord, by Kunti, but also by the five sons in Draupadi. Somebody's got their machine on there, but okay. So anyway, whoever spoke these prayers. Recently, I noted in the, it is said in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that there are times when Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, they would try to trick Krishna in coming to Dwarka, Hastinapur, rather, by saying, you know, that there were attacks, they needed Krishna for so many reasons. And so Sanatana Goswami emphasizes that when there is pure devotees involved, if Krishna himself doesn't come and reciprocate, the devotees at this stage, like the Pandavas and Kunti, they actually can trick Krishna by saying these things. They try to get Krishna to come there. It sounds kind of strange to us at our stage, they're tricking Krishna. I mean, first of all, can Krishna really be tricked? It doesn't sound ethical to trick Krishna if you could trick Krishna. Anyway, it's interesting that they have such an intimate, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that's actually the story is that Parikshit Maharaj himself was about to leave his body and he's speaking to his mother. The Uttara, just before he leaves his body, the essence of the Bhagavatam, the essence of the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam, she wants to hear it as he heard it from Sukadeva, but in his own words. And this is the intimate. These are the intimate pastimes of these devotees and Kunti. They're actually, you see, they're stopping Krishna here. I mean, Krishna's ready to go. He's ready to leave town, and then Kunti and the Pandavas are here and Draupadi, and they're imploring him. Wait a minute, don't go. You know, listen to our prayers. You know, so they're praising him and talking about their various pastimes here. That will unfold as we read in the prayers, which are wonderful to memorize. Actually, they're a little easier to memorize, I think, than Bhishma's prayers. Bhishma's prayers are, I think there's less of them. Somehow, I haven't memorized all of Bhishma's prayers. I know people who have, but the Kunti's prayers, I know more people that know Kunti's prayers. In fact, Prabhupada chanted the Kunti's prayers. There's a recording where he's chanting with just the cartels, very wonderful. You can hear that. So in this particular verse, there's certain words, Brahmatejo Vinir Muktair. They were free from this Brahmastra. And so this is really a point where just imagine Kunti's prayers. It was some of the most popular parts of the Bhagavatam. And this is the verse right before it. Prayana bimukam krishnam, unto Krishna, krishnam namadvam sada, unto Krishna, it means unto Krishna. And the various parts of the Sanskrit in this particular reminded me that in one of the prayers of Kulishekar, he uses all the various parts of speech, Krishnaya, Krishnam, Krishnena, Krishnena Akila Shatrava. Krishna has killed all his enemies. Krishnena Akila Shatrava, the Shatrava, the enemies. So in this case also, he has, and Krishnam Nabadvansada, we always offer respects unto Krishna. And in that particular verse by Kulishekar, all the various 8 or 9 endings that you could have with Krishna, Krishna, Krishnena, Krishnaya, Krishnasya, all of them are in that particular verse. It's pointed out by various, beginners in Sanskrit a lot of times to study that verse, to learn all these things. I don't think I've ever gotten up to the beginning stage, but at least I know I've seen the verse. I could recall parts of it, but it's interesting to note that Krishna has destroyed the enemies. So in this case, he has destroyed enemies, the enemy here being this Ashwatthama's weapon, and all weapons, all other weapons. And the purport is good, of course. Kunti is described as sati, or chaste. We know the word sati, the wife of Lord Shiva. She was the original chaste person. She felt her body to be contaminated in association with material energy in the form of Daksha, her father. She sat down, the original protester. She said, oh, this body given to me by Daksha. She left her body. Therefore, we have this word sati. Jivasati. Dadrakeva sutta. Dachopagayaturagaya gata. In the second canto, the word sati is used to refer to the tongue. Jivasati. Jivasati. Dadrak. That the unchaste tongue is known as asati. Asati. Jiva is the tongue. Jiva ati. It's always very uncontrollable. Jiva ati means ati means exceedingly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So unless we really utilize the tongue to chant the prayers of Kunti, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, transcendental sound vibrations, it will remain asati. And jivasati dadragaiva chopagayat uragaya gata. There, Sukadeva Goswami says that the tongue is just like the ears like snake holes. The tongue is unchaste, you know, all your various things. Krishnadas Kaviraj says the ears are just like broken conch shells or something. If they are also snake holes, if they don't hear the messages of Krishna. So here it says, her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living entity or demigod, for deliverance from danger. So deliverance means vimukti. The word is here, vimukti. It's used in reference to this weapon, but it actually means liberation from the material energy. In this case, it is specifically this Brahma Tejo. But the general Shimukti Shriya, Vasashriya, this verse in the Chaitanya Charita describes also mukti, or liberation, that the holy name of Krishna is a very attractive thing. It says it's very attractive, and one of the things that the holy name is the controller of liberation. Vasa means it controls mukti. Therefore, if one chants the holy name, Mukti Mukulatanjali Sevatesma. Mukti will run after him, begging, along with all the other, you know, what to speak of, sense gratification, economic development, religiosity. These things are useless. The devotee has no use for them. They beg for some attention. Pure devotees like Kunti, they don't even have any idea about these things at all. Completely absorbed. Unfortunate for us, we could make contact with someone like Srila Prabhupada on a very high level, pure devotee, and could show us what it means to be completely at this level of Kunti Devi. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an inkling. And he's able to express it also in his books and his purports, which we're reading right now. And first thing he's saying is described as sati, chaste. So even an ordinary woman in a traditional Varnashram, she may not have been expected to commit sati, right? But that was going on, Prabhupada says, even up to the 1940s, early 40s, late 30s, that the British had outlawed this sati, right? Because the woman felt that she was so indebted and so much linked with the husband, but the husband should be a pure devotee. Even it says that Pariksit Maharaj's had been approached by Uttara, she herself, if she hadn't had Pariksit in the womb, I would have gladly burned myself. It wouldn't have mattered, but I had to protect my son. And of course, he was the last remnant of the dynasty of the Kurus, even of the bad Kurus. Actually, all of the Dhritarashtra's sons. Hang on one. Hello? Hello? No, I'm on the class now. So even these Pandavas, even these Dhritarashtras and the Pandavas, they were all one, but they were designated as Pandavas because of the actions of these demoniac Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. So then we can understand, and it brings it very much up front in our face, how Kunti is so advanced. So anyway, Kunti and the Pandavas are here. They're offering these prayers, and it's very wonderful to read. I advise memorizing. I know when Prabhupada came to Henry Street back in 71, and Bhagavatam had first come out, just coming out in hardback. In fact, I have to say I was sitting next to Prabhupada when he was holding the first canto, first volume, in his quarters, somehow in the art department, even though I was a bhakta, it's like super, super deluxe special mercy. And sitting there right next to Prabhupada, and he's holding the book and he's looking at the pictures. Actually, he was quite pleased to have it. And that's when he said, I think the painters are the best book distributors. Well, who can rest on your laurels? I don't know how many centuries, how many lifetimes, but nobody should. But the point was he was very pleased to have the book. And then we were chanting the various slokas, starting in the beginning, Janmadhyasya. And there were, in those days, I don't know if we had Xeroxes, I had mimeograph sheets of all the verses. And we know the Prabhupada wanted us to, every day we would chant. We'd have the whole sheet in front of us. We'd chant the slokas. And if I recall, we were even chanting the ones before. So it was obvious that Prabhupada wanted us to memorize, especially those, you know, those first canto and like that. When Hridayananda was actually memorizing it, first canto, I remember we visited the Houston. He always had the Bhagavatam under his arm. He was memorizing it, and he had written to Prabhupada, I'm memorizing, and he told Prabhupada, I'm memorizing the first canto. Prabhupada said, yes, thank you very much. But I think, and Prabhupada chants actually, there's a tape where he chants Kunti's prayers, he chants the first three chapters of the Bhagavatam. No, he was always being encouraged to memorize, and especially we're getting to this point, and I think Krishna's telling us that he wants us to know these verses that are coming up. So it says here, in the very second sentence, her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers. Lord, a chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others. Okay. It was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas that there were so many dangers. Yata Rishikesha, she's describing that in her prayers now, that Asatsabhaya Vanavasa Kwichata, Yata Rishikesha, Kalina Devaki. We could actually, because these dangers are mentioned, I don't think it'll be bad to even look ahead, jump ahead here. So she's saying in the number 23 that the you released your mother Devaki, was long imprisoned, envious Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. And you know, the whole Mahabharata is full of these things that went on. Bhima was thrown in the river, and the house of lack. Here it says, he was transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Lord Krishna's foster father. Kunti Devi, along with her children, was also saved from a series of dangers. But Kunti Devi was shown far more favor because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti. Just see, this was done because Devaki's husband, Vasudeva, was living, whereas Kunti Devi was a widow. She was a widow because the co-wife had done the sati rite. That was Madri. And Kunti Devi would have also, but she had the children. One of them had to do it in those days. So it was a very strict thing. This is where we get the word sati. And it's very apropos to the situation of Kunti and Madri, and also Uttara. She said, you can burn me, I don't mind, but you have to save my child, this Uttara. Shrut says, the conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater danger. So we know that we're in the comfort zone, sitting on the sidelines of Krishna consciousness, that we can't expect. Prabhupada says that the sannyas ashram is painstaking, very painstaking. The various ashrams, like the sannyasis, the sannyasis have to do so much renunciation, totally depending on Krishna. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the emblem of sannyas, the shiromani, the jewel of the sannyasis. Sometimes, of course, others are known as the jewels of sannyasis, but we all know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He shows chaktva sudusya sarepcha. He gives up even the company of Lakshmi to run after the conditioned souls in the material world. When he's a sannyasi, he shows the highest example of renunciation. And others are meant to follow that. So Kunti Devi, in one of her prayers, vipada santu takshashas tata tata jagargaro, let the miseries come again, because by those miseries we get to see you. So if we are in our comfort zone, I feel like I'm definitely in a comfort zone. I just happened to be browsing through and in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, seeing how Hanuman was praising the Pandavas and Yudhisthira Maharaj, and how they were such great devotees. And they had so many dangers. They always depended on Krishna in every way. They would never, therefore, and Draupadi asking, she got the sari, O Govinda. As soon as she completely gave up any hope of anything in this, anything else that would save her, she thought of Govinda completely. So these are the examples that we get of pure devotees. They offer these prayers, just like Sanatana Goswami. He has distilled the essence of all the various devotees, the different levels of devotees, and where's the mercy found? Well, they're all getting the mercy in the beginning of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, all the way up to the gopis. And each succession of devotee Narad Muni visits, he hears that they are the real recipient, the Lord Brahma, and then first Indra and Brahma, and then Hanuman, and finally the Pandavas, and on up to Uddhava, the first Yadus and Uddhava, and finally to the Gopis. This is the same idea of the Bhagavatam. It gives us in a different way, but Sanatana Goswami has revealed it in another way, wonderful way, how these Pandavas were recipients of the mercy, and each successive devotee feels like they are rascal. They condemn themselves. Oh, we couldn't do this. We didn't do that. Brahma describes his particular situation, that, you know, I tried to, you know, I trick Krishna. Indra says, I rained on Krishna. I tried to kill the residents of Vrindavan. I'm a demon. You know, how can you even think that I'm a recipient? So obviously this is one of the qualifications of being a recipient of this mercy. And being vinir muktam tat paratena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam, one has to utilize all of his senses to serve Krishna, and one has to do it in an extremely humble way. When one gets puffed up thinking someone that could happen, like the Mayavadis, they think, yes, I am liberated, I am Narayan, now I'm liberated. They think that this is liberation. This is not liberation, but this is rather Mayavad situation. One wants to merge into Krishna. And of course, he may be free from some type of material sex desire, but he's not pleasing Krishna. This type of liberation where one wants to merge, it doesn't please Krishna. It's just as one goes to the to your mother after being like 12, 13, and, Mom, I want to go back in your womb. This is not the type of liberation that's being described. Vimuktamanina, this is the people who think they're liberated. They muktamanina. Without taking angri, the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this is simply some thinking that you're liberated. So, again, in this introduction to the prayers. I consider this some, in my mind, it appears to be an important verse because it's just verging on these prayers. And the word is here, vivinam mukta, liberated. They're liberated. It means they're all liberated. I'm in the middle of something. So this is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. So Sanatana Goswami also, he quotes Nirapeksham. There's one verse in the 11th canto where Krishna describes how he's so attracted and he's so dependent on the pure devotees that he actually takes the dust of these pure devotees. He tries to sprinkle it on in the material world. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes the form of a devotee. Krishna wants to. What is it like that the ecstasy of Radharani, of course, but just to interact, he interacts. The Panchatattva themselves, the five features, it's stressed that one cannot differentiate them. It's Krishna himself, but he's appearing in five forms just to taste. Rasa asvadite, vividai vibhed. He's expanded himself into these forms, five forms, just so he can experience interaction. When we read the interaction between Advaita Acharya, we just had the appearance of Advaita Nityananda, and those days are devoted to hearing the interchanges, the loving exchanges between Advaita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, between Advaita and Nityananda. So they're ekabastu, they're one in substance. They are the ekam dvatiya nasti. There's no second, in what we say that Krishna is one and there's nothing second, nothing equal to or beyond Krishna. But Krishna is expanding himself, echo bahasham, to experience the ecstasy, more and more ras, and to churn the ocean of ras. It doesn't stop. It's not like gopis are experiencing ras. Of course, we want to hear about that when we feel qualified. But there's a ras here with Kunti and the Pandavas also. We relish that. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was hearing the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. He wasn't only absorbed in the Manjari Bhav like that and Radharani and with Ramananda Roy, but he was also hearing there was Gadadhar. He was crying in ecstasy. He was reading and chanting the Bhagavatam so much so that his Bhagavatam, the lettering had been washed away. When Srinivas Acharya came to hear from him, the Bhagavatam, he said, "Well, I don't have a Bhagavatam anymore, because I've been reading this for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so many years, and now it's all washed away." Obviously, he knew the Bhagavatam with that. But he said, if you want, you could try to get another one. And Srinivas Acharya had to go out of Puri to get one. I don't know. When the time he came back, Gadadhar Pandit had left the material world. And so he was completely devastated. These things are painful, but like burning hot sugar cane. One cannot resist it. We hear these painful pastimes of the Pandavas and Kunti, but then we realize how so dependent they are. So Prabhupada gives the example of the great elephants, very powerful. They go into the powerful river, but sometimes they're washed away. Although a tiny little fish, he just follows the current. So if one is even insignificant, Sanatana Goswami, or Rupa Goswami himself, in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, Varakaro Rupopi. Although I am a fool, Praranaya Varakaro Rupopi, Tasya Hare Pada Kamalam Chaitanya Devasya. I take full shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the. Sometimes I'm reading these. The Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami is praising Rupa Goswami also in the very first verse, I believe, or first or second verse of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He's praising Rupa Goswami. It's a double, they're able to put a double meaning on their words, but when it's understood that he's praising Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the form in this material world of a devotee, he's also praising Rupa Goswami. And we know that these great devotees, they're always praising one another. And so here, Kunti Devi is expressing in these prayers, Namaste Purusham Tvajam, humbly. She's also saying, Alaksham Sarabhutanam. You don't even appear to ordinary. You're covered. Manyetam Kalamishanam. She says the time potency is destroying everyone. She says you're covered. Javani Kachanam, by the curtain of the deluding energy. Mudhadusha, that the people in general are fools and rascals, that you yourself are hoksaja, beyond their senses. So in so many ways, we've got a lot of stuff working against us as far as taking shelter, but we also realize that we can't take shelter of the material energy. When we realize the profundity, the intelligence, the vast poetics, the mercy these great devotees are bestowing on us, they're just looking after us. Jiva Goswami says that Rupa Goswami uses the word obsessed with saving the fallen souls. Obsessed. We know that Sanatana Goswami, everyone in Vrindavan shaved their head when he left the world. He wasn't just sitting. He was going around Vrindavan and taking care of the various Vrijvasis, so asking them, how are you? How's your family? Very, very concerned, just like Prabhupada was very concerned, very concerned. Even in seemingly some mundane topics in various ways. And Prabhupada spoke like that. I know when I was with Prabhupada several times, we could understand. He knew the predicament of this material world. He felt great compassion for all the suffering in this material world. And we ourselves can't feel it, but at least we could bring ourselves to become servants of the Sankirtan movement. Those who don't sublimate themselves, subordinate themselves to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva, to the Sankirtan movement, they remain outside. Vimukha, the word here is used also. Prayana Abhimukham, towards. Abhi means toward. They're turning their mukham, their face towards toward Krishna. Whereas Bahirmukh, Bahirjan, the Bahir means the outsiders. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing in the Godavari and Ramananda Roy came there. He was surrounded by more than a thousand persons, various Kshatriyas and Brahmanas reciting mantras. He was a veritable king, governor. But when they both fell into a great swoon of ecstasy, Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embracing, everyone was wondering, what's going on? What's this? It's sannyasi embracing a king. And then they stopped because they saw that these persons were Bahirmukh, Krishna Bahirmukh Jan. They have turned their face away from Krishna. Therefore, it is said, Bhogavancha Kori, trying to enjoy this material world, Nikatasta Maya Tare Japati Adari. Nikatasta means that Maya remains very close to them. Nikatasta Maya Tare. And then holds them in an embrace. So Krishna Bulya Sejiv, like that. Krishna Bulya, forgetting Krishna, the Jivas, they forget Krishna. They are grasped by Maya. But here we see in this verse, Prayana, out there. Abhimukham, they're going towards Krishna and imploring Krishna. So following in their footsteps, Prabhupada is giving us these exalted prayers of Kunti Devi. What do people get? They can worship God through some vague idea, some vague prayer. But here is very specific. From the very beginning, she's saying, Alaksham Sarabhutamantiya Bahir Vasvitam. You are within and without, existing both within and without. The original Namaste Purusham Tvajam. We had that word Ajam in the previous verses. Ajam and Ishvara, there was one verse. And then soon she'll also speak of herself as very fallen also as a woman. As women generally, they didn't study Vedas, they didn't study Vedas, but generally speaking, their advancement was depending on their husband. So Kunti is a widow. She's totally dependent on Krishna. And therefore, from this time onward, people have been reading her prayers. Katam pasye mahistriya. How can we women, what to speak of? Maybe Paramahansas, they might be able to understand you. But how can I understand you? So this is the humility of Kunti, but obviously she has a very intimate relation. She's also Paramahansa. There's no question. They're all Paramahansas. This is the Paramahansa Samhita. It's meant to be read by the Paramahansas and relished by Paramahansa. Bhyavastitam manam rigyudashusam. Sukadeva Goswami, also emblem of Paramahansa ashram. He says, Pungsam puna paramahansa ashrame vyavastitam manam rigyudashusam. For those who are in the fourth order of the Paramahansa, whatever they want, Krishna bestows on them. So it's given in many detailed prayers throughout Bhagavatam. All we can do is bring our heads, our ears to it and try to relish it, whatever little capacity we have. I don't think anyone will be able to approach the point of becoming someone like Sanatana Goswami to reveal the Bhagavatamrita, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, or Kunti Devi, but at least we could get a little bit of the mercy by reading what they've written, what they've spoken. And so I rest my case on that. If there's any comments.
We covered it too well. No comment. Question. A lovely class, Prabhu. The last sentence. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help. But the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. So what is our position? It seems that maybe we're not, well, not maybe, we're obviously not at the level of Queen Kunti, far, 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 infinitely far from it. But it's still okay, yeah, for us to pray for the Lord's help. That's
right. Yeah, well, we just read that. It's interesting. We just read that Uttara was asking for the Lord's help. Isn't it? Wasn't she? To save the baby. But
that's not to save herself.
Yeah, not to save herself. But she still wanted help. And then when I read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it was interesting. Sanatana Goswami comments that these devotees, they trick Krishna. Like I was saying in the beginning, they trick Krishna. But it's all in the realm of pastimes. So we have to just take it like that, So
it seems that at our stage, we should, so far, such a vast difference. Infinitely far difference.
It seems to me that I think that I'm getting more insignificant every day, every minute of the day, and not because out of any advancement. It just seems like even if you materially could comprehend, first of all, unfortunately for the mass of people, they can't really appreciate Prabhupada's saying, or what Sanatana Goswami's saying, or Rupa, or Jiva, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But at least in our position, we've gotten a tiny, tiny taste of an idea, a glimpse. And with that tiny taste, it seems like it's almost like a semi-curse because we realizing how insignificant. I mean, just to Sanatana Goswami, he had already studied all the Vedic literature. When he wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it was the first major. It was before the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, and he had gotten direct instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, he wasn't getting puffed up about it, but he was just saying, this, I heard this from Krishna himself. This is it. you take it or leave it. I'm sorry. And either you take it or leave it. The thing is there. And how is he in any way not the proper recipient? He completely is. When they first approached Rupa and Sanatana, they were actually quoting a verse from the 10th canto, "Nasti Papatma." There's no one more sinful than us. I mean, it's true, there was Jagai Madai, but we're even more sinful. There's nothing, this thing, they were actually not offenders, but actually we're offenders. So this was, they had straws in their teeth and this something wrapped like a cloth around their neck, you know, and they were just, but but just see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakali to see them. They had written some letters. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so attracted. What is that? The verse, Hridayam Sadhanam Hridayam Mahyam Sadhanam Hridayam Faham. The famous verse we read in Ninth Canto recently that had to do with Maharaj Ambarish when he was being chased. See, there's another example, Maharaj Ambarish, Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't ask for anything. What does he ask for? Kamanam Hridya Sangraham, that he's full of lust. When the Sringadeva says, take any benediction at the end of this whole thing where he's being thrown off of mountains and tossed in you know, boiling oil and whatever, snake pits. And so after he's easily he's delivered, he says, Kamanam Hridya Sangraham, Vrinatas Tu Vrinavaram. Varam deva moksha and moksha vadumva, that devotee's saying, I don't want any benediction, just that I can always see this form of Krishna. And so Prahlad Maharaj was saying yes. But we read in the beginning of Prahlad, he's saying, prema gadgadaya vacha hridayakshana. And Prabhupada, in other words, his voice was choked, just like Lord Chaitanya is practically paraphrasing Prahlad. Prema gadgadaya, he says gadgadaya himself. Prema gadgadaya, so... it's used several times, but Prahlad's in such ecstasy that he can hardly speak, and he's looking at the Sringadeva, and he's seeing Krishna. We don't know what he's seeing, but he was worshipping Krishna before he saw the Sringadeva. That was his beginning lesson. Anyway, at the end of all his prayers, and he's given a benediction, he says, Kamanam, get rid of all my lust. Ashesha Kamana, Hridi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm full of unlimited lust, ashesha kamana, hridayamaji more. I'm decorated with all these qualities of lying, and you know, I when I see others suffering, all the things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So these seem to be the qualifications. But what I'm amazed by is the vast learning of these devotees, that they can spontaneously either compose the prayer at 5 years old. And Dhruva was touched by the conch shell, was it? Or Prahlad was touched. But they were able to compose prayers at 5 years old. And talk about prodigies. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we just heard about him the other day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, such great personalities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was composing poems at 2 years old, just speaking poetry, like, you know, in those days he didn't have, unfortunately, tape recorders or anything. But we can't even fathom how great they are, even materially. Even materially. I mean, when you look toward some even mundane history of poetry and intellectual, you know, in that section of India at that time, I mean, they're always going to point to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan. I mean, even the mundane persons who study this. Of course, most mundane persons are not interested in medieval Indian history. What to speak of relishing anything they said. But when you see what kind of brain, what kind of intelligence, vast intelligence that only Krishna could provide. It's a wonderment that's constantly amazing to me. It's unfathomable that they could present prayers like this. I mean, and write these things. To study Sanskrit, even to just say anything, it takes years and years. What to speak of? How, I mean, you know, you can't do that in one life. You can't write the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You can't write Bhakti Rasa Narasimha. You can't write Gopal Champu. No one could do that. It's not possible. Only they could do that. And Kunti, and no one can speak these prayers except Kunti. So we have to see things in this context with great personalities. And even if somehow or other we have some vague idea who they are, but just to hear it and read it and see how perfect it is, for me, that's an amazing thing. Anyway.
You know, I was going to also say, boy, thank you for these great classes. Really, really nice. I did have a question in regards to what Narahari just said. Kind of beat me to it. I was going to point out the same sentence in the purport. You know, there's a story.
You need to oil your holster better, and when you whip out your, he won't beat you next time. You know, both of you guys. I can imagine both of you guys like drawing your guns or something in the Wild West or something, and he beat you to it. But both of you shot me, and I won't be able to answer properly.
All right. Look, there's this story that the Christians give that there is one very devoted follower of Jesus, and he was on the rooftop, and then people were coming by and says, go, you know, there's going to be some heavy rains and floods. You've got to save yourself. Said, no, the Lord will help me. And then it started, the water started to rise, and he's on his rooftop, and they come by with a boat and said, get in, you're going to die. And he says, no, Jesus will help me. And then finally the helicopter came through, and it just right at the very top, and he said, no, I won't go, Jesus will help me. And then he drowns, and then when he goes to the pearly gates, he goes, how come you didn't save me? He said, what are you talking about? I seen you people, I seen you a boat, I seen you a helicopter. So that's the story.
It's a well-known story.
All right. So, you know, when we hear about how a real Brahmana, he's just so renowned that if he gets money, then by the evening it's gone. He distributes it, he uses it, and then he's always poverty-stricken like that. When I hear stuff like that, because I'm so far from that, I kind of feel like it's like that, you know. If, Krishna sends you some facilities, then accept his Krishna's mercy. But actually a Brahmin, as soon as he gets something, he gives it away.
Well, wait a minute. Let's just take Prabhupada, for instance. I mean, Brahmin is a general term, and I don't know if Prabhupada told that story, but, you know, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada said he set the example by reserving a quarter of his wealth, and he was vastly wealthy. And even though he gave half to the Brahmins and devotees, and he kept a quarter for his relatives, and it took a full year to actually figure out and distribute it, he must have had a lot of money. Then we could, you know, okay. So then Sanatana Goswami was able to get out of jail with that money. It's lucky he saved it, right? And even then, he had like thousands of gold coins, Sanatana, you know, and he somehow his servant had 7 or 8. And a gold coin in those days, oh, let's just take an ounce coin now is worth 1,500. It's going up to 2,000 bucks soon, 1 ounce. And he had 8. So that means he had like, let's just say, he had even the servant Ishan of Sanatana had 8, had, 10,000-12,000 bucks on him. And that was just like chump change from what Rupa Goswami gave that jailer. You got like 5,000-7,000 gold coins. What was it? 8, I forget. Huge amount. I mean, and if you take one gold coin was worth an ounce of gold now, let's say it was worth $2,000, and he had five 5,000 of them. What's that? 5,000 times 2. 5,000 times 2,000 or whatever. Anyway, it's a lot of money. You know, I'm just saying he didn't give away all the money immediately. And neither Prabhupada gave away all his money immediately. He put it toward books. He put it toward, it's not like you just give it away and dump it. No, they're giving it in a very thoughtful way, how to use it and for advancement of Krishna consciousness. So if Prabhupada says you have $1 billion, well, it's okay. You can have it, but you have to use it properly. I mean, the Pandavas had money, the pure devotees. They had inexhaustible wealth. Had inexhaustible wealth. They do Rajasuya, but they're always considered pure devotees. So, yeah, a Brahmin gives away, but Prabhupada's a Brahmin. Of course, Prabhupada said, I did not have any money. If you're on the level of Prabhupada, Prabhupada said when he went to Detroit to buy the Fisher Mansion, and the lady there wanted $350,000, Prabhupada said, I did not even have 3 paisa. But then Ambarish and Lokesh Shravanti, they each gave – he got her down to 300,000 or something, and they each gave half. I mean, you're from Detroit. You know the famous story. The Prabhupada said, I did not have even 3 paisa. So, I mean, Krishna – he was trusting Krishna was going to provide him.
That was Mr. Grown. He he was actually almost apologizing to Prabhupada, said that I can't give you this place.
He wanted it free.
Yeah, Prabhupada.
You were there. Were you there when
Saltage was almost like trying to get out of it. Like, I can't give it. I put all my, I have all my money in this.
Anyway, like Prabhupada said, you know, I came to America, had like, what, 7 rupees or 40 rupees, and now I have like 7 crore or something. And he would say, it would almost sound like he's boasting, but he was just only, really wasn't boasting. He was only making a point. For fools and rascals, when Prabhupada would say things like, they'd say, oh, you're driving a fancy car. He'd say, no, I should have a gold car. His main point was, you don't know what the guru is. You don't have any realization, but we know how to use money, basically, you know. So Prabhupada would say like that. Oh, he's a guru. He can have, hey, Prabhupada's a Brahmin, but he's saying I could have a gold car. But we say, Prabhupada said, the neighbors are very envious. But we say, why don't you join? No, they won't do that. But, okay, so I don't think the idea is that just – I mean, some people are in this mood, just like that Vasudev Dutt. He didn't have any money. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivananda Sen, please take care of Vasudev's finances because he never has money. So – and then when he was talking with Shivas Thakur, he said, Shivas, you know, you've got this family and your brothers, your kids, your servants. How do you maintain it? I never see you do anything. You're sitting here reading the Bhagavatam all day. He said, well, my policy is 1, 2, 3, and he clapped his hand 3 times, and Lord Chaitanya is like – said, okay, what does that mean? He said, well, after 3 days, if I don't get anything, I'll drown myself in the Ganga. And then Lord Chaitanya roared with laughter and said, if you don't get anything, he said, Goddess of Fortune could go begging, but you'll always have, you know, unlimited, whatever you want. So anyway, that's the story. As far as not having anything, there's different angles of ways to look at it. Nirapeksha. It's one mood people have it. Lord Chaitanya traveling in the jungle of Jarikanda when his servant Balabhadra Bhattacharya was keeping even a handful of rice for the next meal. He said, why are you keeping that? Get rid of it. Just give it away. Just feed it to the monk, to the animals. We're not going to worry about that. Prabhupada points it out.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I just need to ask this because in this, the last sentence is that a chaste devotee never asks the Lord, but the Lord is always looking for an opportunity to help the devotee. So that's clear. A chaste devotee doesn't ask the Lord for help. So that means he shouldn't ask anybody else for help either, right? Because that's the previous.
But that's one sentence out of 5 million that Prabhupada wrote. Like, God helps those who help themselves. You know, obviously you're a household of Brahman, you have to have something, you know. Even Sudama Vipra, his wife went out and begged some rice. He didn't have anything. He had holes in his clothes, holes in the roof of his house. And he wasn't trying to get anything, you know. The Prabhupada tells a story about these disciples of, I think, was it Ramanujacharya, that they both shared a cloth. They couldn't even go to the temple. Only one of them could wear the cloth, you know, and they'd just stay home in their underwear or whatever. And it gives that as an example of chastity. Prabhupada gave several examples of women being chaste, just like his sister, that even though her husband was a great debauchee, whenever anyone would go to her house and say, where's her husband? She'd just say, oh, he's just gone out now. He's just going to come back soon. That Bhavatarini, you know, Pishima. But actually the guy was completely cheating on her all the time. And then he came back. He was a fish eater, but he came back because she was so chaste. And he gave various examples. Probably gave the example of this woman and a man. He saw them in the street begging. And the man was dressed neatly. The woman took care of him. And Prabhupada said he was, for some reason or other, his face was erased. His face had been erased in some accident. He had no features on his face, but still she was chaste to him. And she was begging. And he gave various examples of chaste women like that. So, yeah, devotees don't ask for anything, but it comes. In other words, he's saying we're not materialists. We don't ask. you know, if this whole idea of becoming transcendental, don't ask. But if you don't ask, you won't get anything either. I mean, Madhavendra Puri didn't ask for anything, and Krishna would come directly to him. Maybe that doesn't always happen. There's so many people begging. Even Raghunath Das, he was in the beginning begging. First, he was making feasts, and he had plenty of money. But gradually, Mahaprabhu Bhaktagana Vairagya Pradhan, Lord Chaitanya is attracted to this type of Vairagya. This is the principal asset that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya have, this Vairagya. Go Priti Gora Bhagavan, Jahadiki Priti Hoi Gora Bhagavan, Gora Bhagavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's very attracted to that. Gradually, Raghunath Das, where he would be begging, then he gave up begging. Lord Chaitanya didn't see him anymore. Where's Raghunath? Well, he's not begging anymore because he thought, oh, this person gave me something yesterday. Then he would go to the stalls where they would just give away some food. Then he thought, that's also not good. I don't want to do that. So he would just take the remnants of the cows. And who's considered who's the Prayojana Acharya in our movement? Prayojana Acharya. Who is it? Raghunath Das. So if we want to get to the point of Raghunath Das, it might take millions of years. Prabhupada said, I mean, Prahlad Maharaj, even Prabhupada said, don't try to imitate that also. Prahlad Maharaj, it will take hundreds and thousands of years it may take to become like Prahlad Maharaj. Not that in one moment. So this is also what's meant by patience. So artificially also one doesn't jump ahead to that point. Oh, yes, I don't want anything. I'm like, it's like the horses. Krishna gives that example in 11th canto. If you're riding the horses of the senses, but if suddenly you artificially try to stop horses, they'll throw you off you'll be hurt severely. So also we don't immediately stop. But the devotee always thinks, yes, I shouldn't be doing this. He considers it sense gratification. Raghunath Das used to curse himself. Even when he would get that rotting food from the cows that he had to wash, that the cows didn't even eat, he would recite a verse from the seventh canto. I forgot the exact verse, but basically it's saying that I'm such a debauchee that I'm eating. I shouldn't even maintain my body. So that, you know, he's the Prayojana Acharya. At the same time, he was begging, you know, like he was begging, getting, somehow he'd get a little buttermilk every other day, but he would beg for that. So that's not asking for, that's not, in other words, there's a limit. You don't, although Prabhupada said brahminical life means bringing eating and sleeping to nil. But still, even Raghunath Das, he might have begged for half a chapati, a little buttermilk every other day. Well, it probably at his, you know, they would come and give it to him, you know. But when that girl came, gave Rupa Goswami some ingredients for a feast for Sanatan, then Sanatan said, oh, you have taken from Radharani. This is such great Mahabhagavatas that some girl came, but he was saying that was Radharani. I mean, and that he'd taken something. He shouldn't take anything from any, you know. So yeah, we don't. But she came and even gave it voluntarily. Even tigers were about to devour Raghunath Das. Then who was it built some kutir for him? Told him he had to have a kutir. Does anyone remember that whole story? Nahari is still there. Nahari? Huh? Nahari? Was anyone left there? I remember that story.
We're all here.
About the tiger.
Story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here. No, well, someone, he built a kutir. Raghunath, there's a famous picture where this tiger, and you see Raghunath just sitting there chanting, oblivious to the tiger. He was in Radhika and the tigers were there. It was a very wild place. Anyway, that he got a kutir built. So, right. Well, with the story you gave, I guess I was agreeing with it by giving so many examples. But so I'm trying to give some examples anyway.
Well, thank you.
Hare Krishna. I know it's overtime, but can I ask a question since you brought
up? Sure, please. Please ask. I can't guarantee a good answer, but.
Thank you. It was a really nice class. Just very nice. You mentioned the verse from 11th canto about Lord Krishna walking behind his devotees so the dust can fall over his body. But
yeah.
I always had a confusion about that particular verse, if you don't mind me asking about it. It is saying that in the word-to-word translation, it says, I may be purified. It says the word is puyeya, I may be purified. And then in the bracket, it says, I will purify the universe within me. So if you don't mind me reading the translation, it says here, with the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. So this verse is in discussion, actually, because you mentioned that Lord Krishna wants to be purified personally, but here our devotees have translated as the universe is within his body. So,
right. I might have been thinking also of another verse in the fourth canto where Krishna says something more to the in the vein that I would lop off my arm. Is it fourth canto when the four Kumaras interacting
yes,
with
yes.
Jai Vijay, and
yeah.
There he says something more similar that I follow the devotees.
I'll cut off my arm. Yeah.
I will lop off my arm probably.
Yeah.
And there's something also about dust there. Can you find that? I'm not.
But in it's not as similar to this one because this one has been controversy because some devotees say it is Krishna himself and here it's translated as purifying the universe. So that's why my question was, would you know of any other references in other places where?
I just mentioned the one about that.
Say about the dust. This is particularly about the dust on.
Oh, but there might be a verse about dust in that same section about the cutting off his arm.
No.
We have to look right now.
Okay,
I'll
just give you the verses 11, 14, 16, okay?
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't have verse, but I'm going back to the fourth canon also. I forget what chapter, but we'll look it up after and find out. You can email, put it up on the thing and find it. But I think there might be something similar to close to taking the dust.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, we know that he takes dust because when Sudama Brahman comes or Narad Muni, when they come to Dwarka, Krishna takes dust, washes their feet, you know?
Yes.
He washes the feet at the Rajasuya, everybody's feet. He takes the dust of all these people.
So in this purport, in this translation.
And Krishna wants the dust of the gopis to get rid of his headache. So it's not really contradictory.
Hmm. Yeah, but the contradiction is in this translation of 11, 14, 16, where it is said that I will purify the universe within me, not Krishna personally himself. Which
even if that verse is correct, exactly right the way they say it, which I expect it should be, the other verses there are other instances where this is going on.
Great. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you for a very nice class. It is getting a little bit late.
All right. I'm ready to sign off. Thank you very much. Haribol.
Well, thank you, Prabhu. A reminder that tomorrow, Gandhari Mataji is going to continue with her seminar on Varnashram.
Okay.
So, thank you very much.
Haribol.
Haribol.